That's the Chicago-born and bred Eugene Jug Ammons, Gene Ammons to you and me, the son of boogie-woogie pianist Albert Ammons on tenor sax, Joe Newman on trumpet, and organist Jack McDuff on Stormy Monday Blues. Of course, my favorite interpretation of that song is by Bobby Blue Bland. And we have Walter Perkins on drums and Ray Barreto on congas. That's from Ammons' 1961 album, Twisting the Jug, recorded and released in 1961. Ammons, considered one of the pioneers of bebop and cool school jazz, performed regularly with the greats of both idioms, including the likes of Charlie Parker, Dexter Gordon, and Fats Navarro, and Sonny Stitt, and Art Blakey. He died of cancer in 1974, on August 6th, he was 49 years old. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Monday, August the 4th, and I'm going to be talking today about the vote on Friday morning before the Congress let out for another month of inactivity. They call it vacation or recess. But it's just one more month of producing nothing. But I did talk to you some time ago about how fast Congress moves when it's furious. And it was furious, furious at Hamas, furious enough to vote for an additional amount of money, $225 million in supplementary aid to Israel to repair its Iron Dome missile defense system, which has already received a ton of money. Israel gets $3.1 billion a year, in addition to millions and millions of dollars more, for all kinds of other programs, but the vast majority of the aid it has received so far has gone toward military operations and defense. Excuse me. And it was interesting that it only needed to say, we need some more money. And money was found, and the Senate went into action and unanimously approved $225 million right away. And the House Well, the House didn't go quite unanimously about it, but they did come very close. The House voted 395-8 in favor of the extra money that Israel needs right away. Now, this is a country that has a GDP of more than $300 billion, but of course it intends not to spend a penny on its own defense. That is for the taxpayers of the United States to bear. Four Democrats and four Republicans objected in the House, and the Republicans have a general opposition to foreign aid, and they maintained that position, so they were consistent with their record. And as to the Democrats, I must say it was a very interesting thing. The Democrats who opposed it were Keith Ellison of Minnesota, Zoe Lofgren of California, Jim Moran of Virginia, and Beto O'Rourke of Texas. Those are the four Democrats. The vote provokes a number of very, very important questions. And that is, the first and foremost, the first question among them is, so what happened to the so-called peace movement and all these liberals and independents and progressives in the Congress, in both the House and the Senate? Where were they? What happened? How could this vote have received unanimous support in the Senate and near unanimous support in the House? When I recall just about everybody some months ago, when they were the country was gripped in this euphoria of demonstrating their commitment to peace and justice and the ideals of Martin Luther King, and they stood in the shadow of Lincoln on the Mall and talked about how absolutely dedicated they are to peace and justice and all this other kind of stuff. Where did that go? Where did those sentiments go? Not one person in the Senate said, I have some issues here. I have some issues with this. Oh, no, no, no. They all fell in line. Well, I guess they were mimicking the president, because he fell in line very early on this. In fact, he was so much in line, he led the way. But where are the progressive voices that we hear so much about? Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and all of these liberals in the Senate, where were you? Where was your voice for peace and justice and all of that stuff? Where did that go? And in the House, and this is where it is particularly galling. Everybody knows the carnage that has been occurring in Gaza at the hands of Israel. And by the way, on the basis of blatant lies, treacherous lies. First, Israel had to take action because three Israeli teenagers were kidnapped and murdered by Hamas. That was the articulated reason by Benjamin Netanyahu. That's what he said. Hamas did it. We know they did it. And they're going to pay for it. And we're coming after them. And Gaza will pay. And they knew, literally within hours of this tragedy, that it wasn't true. Hamas denied it. But it made no difference that they denied it. Even I, thousands of miles away from the activities in Gaza, based on knowledge of what has been going on there. I even said, without having access to the resources and to the well-placed sources that people like CNN and MSNBC have and the New York Times and the Washington Post have, I was able to say this has the earmarks of an unsanctioned act. And so it was. And a correspondent from the BBC could not even get his story published by the BBC, and he broke the story that, in fact, Israel admitted that they knew that Hamas did not commit the kidnapping and murders of these teenagers. In other words, for all the time that Israel had been bombarding Gaza, killing all these women and children and innocent people on the pretext that three innocent teenagers were kidnapped and murdered, and this was justified retribution, they were lying, they knew the truth, they denied the truth, the United States knew it, but accepted the carnage as the price for defending itself. It suddenly it then shifted from the murders of these teenagers to we are defending ourselves. As if the act committed with the murders of these teenagers was in fact a declaration of war against Israel. So we know that was the first lie. And thousands of people are paying with their lives, killed and terribly disabled and displaced. The second lie, Hamas has kidnapped and is holding for ransom our soldier, one of our soldiers, and we are, of course, going to go to war again. A lie. And they knew it. And they finally had to confess. Oh, he died in the course of war. By the way, he died at, probably more than likely from an Israeli missile that was aimed into Gaza. So we have two blatant lies. The United States knew it. Israel absolutely knew it. But it didn't prevent them from creating this calamity and all this bloodshed and death and mayhem. And then Netanyahu says, don't you give me the money. And then shut up and go away. Don't you second guess me. Don't you tell me what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to be talked about international conventions, about war crimes and international law. I am the law. And every single member of the U.S. Senate, including all of those who would stand before you on a stack of whatever it is they consider holy, and they would tell you how committed they are to justice and peace and fairness in the world. How they marched and held hands and went down to Selma. How they are so absolutely committed to peace and the progressive agenda, whatever it is they try to tell people that it is. And they all went along with it. So it seems to me only fair that the progressive community needs to take some inventory, because maybe there are some charlatans running around waving credentials that they really do not have or have not earned. And nobody is calling them out on it. This is the time for the people to step forward and say publicly, you can't possibly excuse or explain your consent to $225 million more on top of what Israel is already getting to pump into weapons of mass destruction, taxpayer money, and we have the UN concerned about war crimes being committed. We have the reports from all kinds of NGOs talking about war crimes that are being committed. The absolute abrogation of international law and international conventions on human rights being committed. And this is a country that talks about how concerned it is about human rights. But you can, on Friday morning, you can agree 100%, including all of you progressive types, you liberals up there and progressives in Congress. And you can do this with a straight face. I say now, the progressive community has got to call them out publicly and cancel their credentials. You can't be a progressive person and sanction this. You forfeit membership at the club. Your credentials are canceled. You're no longer credible. And we deny you any right to lay claim to such a term to describe yourself. But look at what happened in the House. The same thing happened in the House. But I want to discuss what this particular vote of objection by Keith Ellison of Minnesota, a Democrat, and the only African American, the only one that dared to take a vote of conscience in keeping with the history of Black folks and struggle for human rights and justice. The only one. He's Muslim. That might be, have been a factor, but I don't think so. It was a vote of conscience. And the fact that he had the courage to step aside from the sheep, the flock of sheep, and say, I am not going to sanction this. You now have to call all of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus into question. Where were all your morals? Where is all your love for Martin Luther King? Where is your sense of justice? Where did it go? How dare you come back to your communities and present yourselves as moral people, as justice-loving people, as even fair-minded people, who in the face of a stark decision that you need to make, couldn't and didn't have the guts to stand up for the right thing. You don't have the conscience to do it. You spit in the face of Martin Luther King, of your grandparents and their great-grandparents. You spit in the face of the history of struggle. Bunch of cowards. Gutless, spineless cowards who just laid down and said, whatever you want, you're going to get it. These same people would not go to bat for Haitians. They would not go to bat for struggling black folks who are unemployed and make a big fuss about that. They would not go to bat for the poor. They would not take on this president in the interest of the communities, the distressed communities that they serve. You have a senior member of Congress representing a city where thousands and thousands of his own folk don't have running water in this day and age. And you're going to stand up there and say, I'm standing for Israel. Give them some more missiles. Give them more guns. Give them more whatever they need to wipe out the Palestinians. And then you're going to stand up and hold hands and sing, we shall overcome. Your community is singing another version of that song. Your community is singing, we are overcome. Because of your spinelessness, your absolute spinelessness. So we have some accounting to do. And everybody has got to call whoever it is masquerading as a progressive and say, what the heck happened to your credentials on Friday? We're canceling your membership. Don't you dare use that term. Don't you ever act like you are entitled to use it. Because to use it, you have to have a conscience. You have to have something that lines up with your consciousness. But of course, the progressive community has its own contradictions. It is unwilling on the basis of race to confront directly these contradictions. What was, in fact, the reason for saying we all, without exception in the Senate, we have no disagreement at all that Israel needs to have an extra $225 million, and they're talking about how much money they're going to cut from this program, or how much money they can't allot to another program, and how the unemployed can't get extended benefits, and how children can't get books in schools, and how affordable housing cannot be built. But you have no problem whatsoever, because, of course, you're in fast and furious mode, and in fast and furious mode, you act lightning fast. You can make up your mind instantly. This president who cannot make up his mind, has not been able to make up his mind since he came into office. He can't make up his mind about doing the right thing for his own people. But let Israel say, hey, I need a couple more millions of dollars. Give me a couple hundred more. I need to blow these folks out of the water. Oh, sure. You got it. No problem. Nobody's criticizing. Everybody is running for the hills, trying to find a rock to hide under. And all of this is taxpayer money that they can't find to allot to worthy causes and desperately needed programs to uplift the human spirit, whether here or anyplace else. But you can find it in your heart, understanding and seeing for yourself the carnage and the lying that served as the pretext for the carnage. And you sanctioned that too. So I say, since Many of us call ourselves progressives. Now is the time for you to get on the horn. Now is the time for you to organize, because you got to get rid of these people. They are traitors. That's not the way progressives act. They are false prophets. Get on the horn and publicly cancel their contracts, publicly disavow them, and organize to get them out. And especially in the African American community, what is this as leadership? A bunch of people who get told what to do and they say okay, and they know it's not okay, and they do this just the same because that's what they're told to do, and they don't respect the fact that their own constituencies are at variance, wide variance with what it is they have done, they don't agree with it. But they are more interested in their political survival, and they're more clear about their priorities for political survival, and that is to please the people who control them. Black folks are under some kind of strange illusions that their leadership actually feels accountable to them. You're confused. These are not elected officials. These are selected officials that you elected. And you continue to tolerate this level of contempt in that they do what they want to do and what others tell them to do, not what you say to do. Their values are not your values. And your values are not their values. So it seems to me that the black community has a lot of calling out to do. And do it quickly. Do it quickly. You should demand from every member of Congress what informed their decision to deliver a 395-8 vote. And conversely, you are to call Keith Ellison and say thank you for at least standing for something that is in line with our history as a people. We're not in line with the business of exploiting people and killing them with no sense of regard. That's not our history. That's not confluent with our history of struggle at all. That vote is completely anathema to our history, completely alien to it. So you should call his office and express some degree of appreciation for the fact that he still understands what it means to be a leader, that you follow the mindset of the community that you represent. I don't know any black community that thinks it's a great idea to run around willy-nilly killing people and their children in their beds. As a matter of national policy, and we're okay with a congressional black caucus that is behaving this way and expressing a vote in the interest and in behalf of their constituencies that can't get running water in Detroit. Or schools with books. Don't get me started Somebody's got some explaining to do. So white progressives, you got your job. Black folks, you got your job. The job is to call these people out and cancel their credentials publicly. Disavow them. Let them know there is a price to pay for being a sheep and for failing to represent the standards of the constituencies, the distressed constituencies that they serve. These same people are going to come back after they've rested up on their vacation, for which they will be paid. This is the only profession that I know of where you can do nothing and get paid for it. You should be sued for professional malpractice. But they're going to come back, and their task will be to find which programs they're going to cut in order to afford Israel $225 million on top of the $3.1 billion. And that's just for military aid. We're not discussing the hundreds of millions of dollars more in developmental aid and in refugee aid and whatever other kind of aid that they wish that they've gotten funding for. I'm saying it again as we go to a little break and come back to your calls at 888-874-4888. The task now, if we are serious, is for progressives to get aggressive. Every person who followed this, the leader like a bunch of sheep and decided it was not going to be a big deal to just sign on to this blood money, and still come with a straight face to the community and present yourself as a progressive. Progressives who are troubled by that ought to get exercised about it. The African American and Latino communities, you know what you have to do. Unless you are in favor of supporting any government anywhere that has done the kind of things that we have witnessed in the last several weeks, the carnage that it has done, the blood that it has spilled, the deaths and mayhem it has caused. Unless you're down with that, then you shouldn't be worried about it at all. But it should trouble you that the people you sent to Washington, D.C. decided on Friday that they were going to shell out $225 million more to a government that is a renegade government to indulge in and engage in some more bloodletting. That should bother you. And they come back to your district as if this was their personal business. It has nothing to do with you. So what are you upset about? They were elected. It's their personal vote. It has nothing to do with you. Mind your business. You know, it's their version of Netanyahu's opinion. Give me the money and get off my back. In Congress, the version is, give me a vote and get lost. I'll take this little break, come back to your calls and questions at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I am your humble servant, Eutrice Lead. A little bit flummoxed today. but with good reason, I think. The number is 888-874-4888. Jay from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Jay?
Yes, Eutrice, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. You're on the air.
Oh, okay, listen, I just like to say that this whole thing, what's going on with the Senate and Congress in regards to this money given to Israel, is an absolute disgrace. And the American people should wake up and see what's really going on, because the contradiction is amazing. We talk about Ukraine and sanctions against Russia and all of that, but we do nothing at all against Israel, which is basically performing genocide on the Palestinian people. Now, I'm going to be honest.
The question is, are you going to do anything about it?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to do something about it. I'm going to write to my congressman. I'm going to write to Chuck Schumer. I'm going to write to Gillibrand. And I'm going to let them know that I don't support it and that they need to speak out against it, even though I know neither one of them will, because they basically support Israel 100% like everyone else in this country.
But you can say something else.
Support
them. Out of the Democratic Party. When a party as a party offends you, you get out of it. And
I'm not a member of the party, so I don't really care. I don't care about the party one way or another. I'm concerned about the welfare of my people. I don't care about Republicans or Democrats. I don't think that's really the issue, because even if we were to leave the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, what's in place to create the type of backlash that is necessary for those two parties to feel the type of pain that is necessary for them to change and start to behave in a fashion that's conducive to making the lives of American people better? So,
well,
I mean, at some point in time, we need to really move forward on an agenda of how do we put together something that will make that happen.
There are things that are already, I know the Freedom Party exists. You have other parties that are coming along that still have, they may have a nominal presence. But at the same time, you have to build alternatives. You cannot go along with this nonsense anymore. It's time to end it. It's time to end it. Thank you, Jay, for your call. Sarah from Dallas, you're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you today?
Greetings, Eutrice. I thought I was here to broadcast of myself when you were going off. I said I did not know I was on national radio. But well, that was just my little bit of humor, Eutrice. But I'm glad you came around to what I was telling you about those children that were killed. I told you, Eutrice, that those people, they knew all along about it. They framed it up because they needed that excuse to get up in there to do, as you said, ethnic cleansing, genocide, and to depopulate that area. They want to get that area because of natural gas, oil, whatever's under that soil. They wanted to get them out and to take complete control of Palestine. That was their ultimate goal. And these Negroes, like I've been calling them all along, Hank Johnson, who took over St. Hugh McKinney, the 4th District that I left from in Georgia, John Lewis, all of these phonies that every time they see something to the civil rights, they want to be running up there and quoting Dr. King. They need a swift kick up the rear end. Charlie Rangel, all of them, and that doggone John Conyers. Because all he's good for is when he gets in the hole, he can pull out, oh, well, I recommended the reparation bill. That's supposed to act as a smoke screen for us to overlook his betrayal. Because this is atrocious, Eutrice. I told you that these people, Maxine Waters, all of these people, I can't even talk about this Aidy Bernice Johnson, because she's a mess. I don't even want to go into her, because I already had my run-in with her. I went up to her office a couple times to voice my displeasure with her. So she's a total disgrace, and she, all that you said, a new broom sweep clean. All of their behind need to be taken out, because whether we got black representatives or we got white, we get the same thing. So why the hell do we want to have black faces in high places who are doing us worse. Look at their districts. The districts look like a bombed-out zone. It's getting worse and worse. Look, as you said, with Detroit, John Conyers up in there, people shutting off water to talk about human rights issue. You got a human rights issue right there in your doggone city, and you want to give these people money, and you want to talk about the welfare of that black people collecting welfare when Israel is over here sucking us dry. These people, they're taking everything from us. Are we stuck with a doggone bill?
Well, you know, the time has come to call them out. And
they need to
this,
be called out and put out of office, you trees, put out of office, especially all of them ones, you know, like the one up there in Mississippi. I can't stand him. He's on the, I think he's on the Ways and Means, Betty Thompson out there in Mississippi. Elijah Cummings up there in the district.
Maryland.
Eleanor Holmes, Norton, all of them. I'm so sick and tired of them.
These are the great civil rights folks.
Exactly.
These are great civil rights people who had no problem, whatsoever saying, despite the record, Israel's record of civil rights, super civil rights violations, despite that, they were perfectly at ease with saying, we are okay with giving you $225 million on top of the $3.1 billion you're going to get for just this year alone.
Yeah, giving them the green light to go ahead and do some more killing. You see, these are the same people you treat if they had a chance and they were in office when we were marching and Dr. King and all of them was marching, going to jail and doing all of that. These would be them same Negroes who would have got up there and sided with the White Citizen Council and do everything in order to keep Dr. King locked up in jail because they would have said, okay, he's a troublemaker, he's coming from out of state and he's riling up on these good Negroes down here. They would have been them same Negroes who would have been doing it. Them same ones.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Thanks so much for your call today.
You're welcome, Eutrice.
From New York, Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and I hope all is well. Very interestingly enough, last week on Meet the Press with David Gregory, he interviewed a UN representative, and at the time he suggested that he showed him a picture of the UN school that had been bombed, that allegedly had been bombed by Hamas, and he asked him to make a comment on the fact that Hamas had bombed the school. Of course, the gentleman had not seen the picture, was not aware that he was going to be asked about this picture, and actually criticized Gregory for doing this. But later on, Gregory had to come back and state that, in fact, it had been confirmed that Hamas had not bombed that school, that it was Israel that had bombed that school. But yesterday, I also saw Representative Ellison on Meet the Press. And again, Gregory attacked him for not voting in favor of that bill. And Ellison courageously sat there and said, my constituents called and said that they were not in support of this action by Israel. And so I voted as my constituents wanted me to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have actually already called his office and thanked him. And for people who are in New York, the Freedom Party is going to be holding a rally this evening in conjunction with the Brooklyn Christian Center around the Eric Garner killing. But in fact, it is a place to start. You must start somewhere.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your call, Patricia.
Thank you.
We have Bruce from New York as well. Bruce, you're on the air. No, you're not. Bruce, we lost you. Please do call back. 888-874-4888. You see, the point I'm making here is we can't have this kind of contradiction anymore. This should be, we draw the line. All of these people who signed on to something that we know the community is vociferously against. But they didn't consult the community. They didn't reflect the community's sentiments about these things. Nor did they reflect the supposed following of human rights history. Ledink from Queens, you're on the air.
How you doing today, Eutrice?
Fine, thank you. Did I get the name right?
Yes, you did, Ledink.
Okay, thank you.
And what I wanted to say was, what I wanted to say was that as long as political parties have a primary place in the political system, we're going to have this problem, because I don't believe they're going to let the smaller parties get any power in order to oppose them. And so I would advocate for the banning of political parties in primary with primary access to the political process.
Well, that's a long shot. The question I'm trying to get you to react to today is, in the here and now, what would you say is the best thing to do, given the decision that was made on Friday and where we are now?
Well, Eutrice, I'm of the belief that the government has been captured, all right? And if my assessment is correct, you have very little, you know, access. So the only thing that you can do is try to advocate for that.
All right. Thank you so much for your call today. I think that these folks ought to be associated with that vote. It should never disappear. It should be part of their dossier. It should be part of everything we know about these so-called civil rights leaders, these people who are touting themselves as followers of Martin King. And I marched with him again, you know, against the odds and all. I did all of that. Fine, great. But your credentials that you're touting are not matching with your actions, nor are they in line with the history of struggle of your people. You're just completely out of whack. The progressive community has got to get very exercised about it and ask those who run around with that tag on their names and said that I'm a progressive, you need to ask them, what is their version? What is their definition of progressive? Because it is at wide variance with what yours is. And they should wear this tag for a very long time, for the rest of their political careers. That despite their so-called allegiance to a progressive agenda and progressive philosophies, this is what they did. They endorsed war crimes. They endorsed genocide. And they voted to aid it and abet it. These are the same people who talked about how offensive it was, apartheid, and how they were so against apartheid and they for justice and whatnot. No, when you vote like this, it should be like a stone around your neck. You should never be separated from it. You should wear, as proudly as you voted, you should wear the stench of it around your neck. And everybody should smell you before they see you, because they say, oh, that was a guy, or that was a woman who voted for blood money. That is what people ought to know. And that is what your political activism is all about. You have to put a stop to these things and speak out about it. I remember when Jesse Jackson was pretending that he was running for president, and how, in the blink of an eye, he put all of his people right up on the auction block to the Democratic Party. I was the only newspaper in the country, the only black newspaper in the country, to call him out on it, called him a charlatan and a disgrace. People were very, very upset with me. But I lived long enough for all of them to come back and say, you know, we really didn't understand what it is you were saying, but you were dead right. You were dead on this thing. Absolutely. This was a disgraceful thing that they did on Friday, and they ought to know it, and they ought to be shamed about it publicly, and we ought to cancel their membership in the club. They no longer belong. And they should explain their vote. They should be compelled to come before the community and explain their vote insofar as they claim these civil rights credentials and these progressive credentials. They're spineless, they're gutless, and they acted without any moral consciousness whatsoever. And for that, they should be compelled to answer to the public. Well, I hope that I made myself clear about that today. And it is a very, very forceful position, I admit. But so is, when you see people openly and casually spitting on a history that was paid for in blood. African Americans struggled like crazy purely on the basis of what was morally right to do. They suffered. And for these people to just cast that aside as if it's nothing and still tell people in the community, sing that silly, with that silly face, we shall overcome, and they become all worked up about Martin Luther King. And you can't even begin to walk one step in his shoes. And you betray both the letter and spirit of the meaning of the struggle like that. Now, time to change tactics and compel these folks to account for themselves publicly and to be prepared to cancel their membership. I'm serious about that. Keep it right here. Wake Up Call with Richard Martin is next, right here on PRN.FM. I'm glad that you were able to join me today. Let me know what you're thinking at LeadStories, L-E-I-D, LeadStories@gmail.com, and on Facebook, Lead Stories with Utrice Lead. A pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Thank you. Thank you.